When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This is the Skate Podcast, talking Bruins hockey with WEEI Bruins writers Scott McLaughlin, Bridget Prue, and Brian DeFelice. Lace them up for some Bees talk. It's Odyssey's The Skate Pod on WEEI. Woo!
Welcome into episode 460 of The Skate Podcast. I am Brian DeFelice, joined by Bridget Prue and Scott McLaughlin. Bridget and Scott, how are you this morning? We have another mailbag to get to today because, again, it's just kind of a slow time of year, but we have plenty of content to get to.
I'm good. I got to see Messi play soccer at Gillette last night, so that's exciting. First time I've ever seen him in person.
I saw a Gillette popcorn time.
Indeed, yeah. I was fortunate enough to be in a luxury suite, brag. and yes, they had popcorn, so... That's what you get for being in a luxury suite. Like, can't just get popcorn anyway, you know.
Scott, can you explain Messi being playing at Gillette and playing in the league he is in hockey terms? I know sometimes like you'll see that sometimes something will happen in a sport and fans of another sport will be like, can you put this in NFL terms, football, you know, basketball terms?
It would be like Connor McDavid. Say at age 33, 34, where like he's still really good, but maybe past his prime, going over and playing in like Sweden or something, like a league where you would never see an all-time great. You know, like MLS has gotten some really good players at the ends of their careers, but then like Messi is just a whole different level, a whole new phenomenon. He's the greatest player ever. And when he came over to MLS, he was still really good. Like, he won the first year he came over, he won the Ballon d'Or as the best player in the world. And so now I think he's in his third season here and he's still awesome. Like, I mean, Argentina just won the last World Cup. So it really is it passes your David Beckham or Kaká or like whoever else you'd want to throw in that conversation.
Ronaldo, like
it blows all of them out of the water.
Is Ronaldo one of those guys?
Well, he's never come over here, so he actually just took the bag to go to Saudi Arabia and get all the oil money and make like $150 million a year or whatever.
Oh yeah,
but Messi clears all those guys in terms of just career accolades and talent, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean the only conversation would be Messi versus Pele, but I think. Okay. I think by winning a World Cup, I think Messi passed him.
Scott's a big soccer guy. I think you've brought that up before, but my friends have season tickets to the Revs, and they sold just that game, and they already made back their entire price of their season ticket. So the rest of the year is free.
Yeah.
They'd already seen them last year, so they were busy this week anyway. So when they sold it, like, they just straight up made all of their money back. So
yeah, it was great, because like, there were questions about whether he was going to play, because Inter Miami, like, a little bit of a deep dive here, but like, they've had a really busy schedule, and they had, I think, a game Saturday, Wednesday, and then another game coming up on Saturday. So people were wondering, like, you know, would he get a rest game somewhere in there? And fortunately, he played.
All right, before opening shifts, let's just talk about it. Let's just get this out in the open. Soccer and football. I never understood it. It makes sense why American soccer is called football over in Europe. I don't understand what the word soccer means here in the U.S., and I don't understand why American football is called football. I mean, you don't really play it with your feet. So I'm a little confused by that. Always have been. I haven't mentioned it until this point, but I wanted to clear my chest.
You're on Europe's side on this one.
I think so. I mean, it does make sense. It does make more sense.
My hot take on that is that it just doesn't really matter. Just say whatever you're comfortable calling it, and people will figure it out. That they'll put together the context clues and know what you're talking about.
That's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's soccer in my mind, obviously, because of the Americanized version of it. But
they don't call it a field. They call it a pitch. I think they call cleats, like, boots. There's definitely different terminology for pretty much everything.
And, like, there are also places in Europe, like specifically parts of the UK, that also call it soccer, or at least used to. Like, there's been a movement to push back against that, but I will say, on the American football thing, part of that is that when, if like you want to really get into the history of it, go back to the 1800s, when it started with, like, at the college level, they did use their feet a lot more. There was a lot more kicking and punting. Like, teams would even punt on, like, first down just to flip the field. Like, there were bizarre stuff happening.
Yeah, back then, when there was no helmets.
It would look like a totally different game if you watched.
No, people died, like, frequently playing that game. So,
I mean, I don't even know what, if American football wasn't called football, I don't even know what an alternative name would be, because it's kind of hard to describe the sport in any other way, really. Whatever.
Well,
all right.
We do have some European listeners.
That's true.
Comments this week, I think.
That is true. That is true. All right. Why don't we get to the opening shifts?
I'll go first, because I tweeted about this article yesterday, but Daily Faceoff had a good article on rebuilds. And the headline is simply, "Do rebuilds actually work in the NHL?" And it comes up with a definition of what they're going to use for what a rebuild is. And they determine that a rebuild starts when a team has at least two bottom 10 finishes, including a bottom 8 finish in a 3-year period. So basically just not just one down year, not two or three middling years, like two legitimately really bad years. Rebuild ends when a team makes the playoffs in consecutive years or wins the Stanley Cup in its return to the postseason. So basically it's not counting like fluke season, made the playoffs, got knocked out, and then sucked for 7 more years. Right. So like the Canadiens freak run to the Stanley Cup final in 2021, by this definition, didn't end their rebuild because it continued after that.
Yeah, and also under the weirdest possible circumstances. Yeah. So,
like, I think that's you could, like, nitpick, but I think that's a pretty good definition. Not going to go through all the data because there's a lot of it, but basically the conclusion it comes to is that there actually have been a lot of effective rebuilds over the last 20 years. It focuses on the salary cap era. But they take, on average, 8.5 years, and over the last decade, so like basically they were shorter right after the salary cap came in, and over the last decade they've actually been trending longer. There's been more of these rebuilds now that have stretched on past 10 years, including the Florida Panthers, who by this definition, their rebuild took 20 years before they finally snapped out of it and obviously now have won back-to-back cups. But
that actually makes sense to me that it takes longer now, because I mean, back then, pre this, like the salary cap, like if you really were bad, you just throw money at it. Like you could theoretically just throw money at it and you'd get it done. So if you were like the Canadians, who were obviously a powerhouse, you just, and your fans have an appetite for you not, you know, doing a rebuild, you just throw money at it. And also, you know, when did it stop that they used to get the first overall pick, Canadian pick every year?
What do you mean?
So like back in the day, they used to automatically get the best Canadian player.
So, well, first off, that not technically how it actually worked, but that stopped being a thing like in the 70s.
Yeah, that was a while ago. But yeah, so like I could see like throwing money at it being just an easy way to get out of it, but you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, and like the advent of the salary cap really shook up a lot of teams like in the immediate aftermath of it. Like a lot of players became free agents because teams really had to adjust to manage the cap, and weren't really just like weren't used to it yet and weren't managing it very well. So more good players hit free agency. And like you see that this year, like now, you know, it reverted a little bit during COVID because the flat cap again, like forced more players to become available. But now with the cap going up, you're going to go back to seeing not as many good players get to free agency,
which means you would have to rely on drafting and trades theoretically. But a lot of it does end up going on drafting because those contracts, at least at the entry level, are affordable compared to if you're trying to trade for someone that's already in their prime.
Yeah. And I guess very last thing I'll say before we can move on is obviously the tie into the Bruins here is they sit on sort of this precipice where this could go either way. Like they're not in a rebuild right now. Right now they've had one down year. So by this definition, they would need a second. But as I've said before, like you can very easily slide into that. We've already talked about how, you know, we think like this upcoming season could go sideways. Like it could be another lottery year, another top 10 pick type of season. Well, by this definition, that would start a rebuild. Like that would be a rebuild. So Bruins could be entering into this conversation, or they could actually pull off the successful retool and avoid that second, third, fourth really bad year.
Yeah. And I tend to think that is more likely than them going into a 7 or 8 year thing, just because I do think that you have a decent core, right? You have one of the best wingers in hockey. You have, when he's on his game, a top 15 defenseman. We'll see if Swayman can be a top 10 goalie, and that's if he can be, right? That's a solid start. And I do think that with a prospect like James Higgins, I do think that's a grade A prospect that they now have in their system that can be in their top six, I would say, starting maybe as soon as next season. And I do think, Scott, whether it's free agency or trade or probably something in, you know, one of those two options, and maybe it's more likely trade, I do think that they will somehow, some way supplement this roster in the next, you know, 12 months with a true top six caliber forward, with probably in their prime. I don't know how, but I would, if you were asking me, Brian, if in a year and a half, do you think that there is like a Martin Natchez or something like that on this roster? Like I would say, yeah, I think there probably would be, but to your point, Scott, it's anything but a certainty. And if that was the case, if you were able to supplement this roster in, you know, a year or so, and you combine that with their current core and some younger kids coming up, man, it shouldn't be 6 to 8 years, but the key word there is shouldn't. So we'll have to see how it plays out. So my opening shift has to do with a player that's no longer available to the Bruins on that front. And it's somebody who I wrote earlier this summer, 10 bold moves the Bruins could do. And this was one of them. And that's trading for Isaac Howard. Howard was drafted into the Tampa Bay Lightning system, 31st overall in 2022. Just didn't see eye to eye with the organization. The feeling is that he wanted to be in the NHL earlier than Tampa Bay was probably willing to allow. So they kind of came to terms that we're going to move on from each other. It's just a matter of when, not if. And for Tampa Bay, they wanted to get it done sooner than later. So they traded him to the Edmonton Oilers for Sam O'Reilly. Now, Sam O'Reilly was the 32nd pick in the first round, last pick in the first round in 2024. Of course, by the Oilers, and he played for the London Knights last season in the OHL. Not their best player, but among them, he had 71 points in 62 games. London, obviously, Memorial Cup champions this past season, and so I saw a lot of chatter out there that it's a swindle for the Oilers, and it very well may be. I mean, Isaac Howard is a reigning Hobie Baker winner and a very, very high-end prospect despite going 31st in 2022. But I'm sure Tampa Bay is getting a decent prospect here in Sam O'Reilly. Maybe Tampa Bay could have gotten more from somebody else, but we don't know what plays into this decision. Maybe Howard really wanted to go to Edmonton. I don't know how much control he even had. Probably none, because he was just a – they just had his rights. So
I would bet very little.
Yeah. So I don't know if anything was done to favor the player in this situation, but in any event, Howard's going to Edmonton. And so Boston or anybody else is not an option. And the reason I bring it up over the summer and even now is because the cost wasn't high to get him. I mean, Tampa Bay wanted what they invested in Howard, right? So they at least wanted a late first round pick or maybe a couple of seconds or a second and a prospect or something. And the reason that Tampa Bay wanted to trade him now is because if they waited until, later, I think maybe next summer or something like that, the only thing that they could get for him would be a compensatory, like late second round pick or something like that. So they got what they can get for him now. But anyway, Howard is off the board. He lands in a good situation in Edmonton, so curious to see how that works out.
Would you guys have traded one of the Bruins' first round picks next year, the later of the picks, or the pick they got from the Marchand trade?
Yeah, I would have. I don't know. I don't think Tampa would have taken that. I think Tampa might have preferred to have the actual prospect whose development they can see and they can project pretty clearly that Sam O'Reilly's probably going to be an NHL player. It may be more as a third liner. Like he has some two-way shutdown ability, so that might be his role. Like the comparison I was thinking of is like he's probably a slightly sexier Fraser Minton. Like he's like that style of player. Probably projects to have a little more offense than Minton. So, like if you're the Bruins, maybe that's the trade. Maybe it's like Minton plus something because you'd have to beat an O'Reilly offer.
Okay. And Tampa Bay, the other reason is they probably didn't want to send him in division, right? They sent him as far away from Tampa as possible. Tampa Bay, Florida, literally, to Edmonton, Alberta. So that's probably at play as well.
Yeah. And we will get to, because I teased this last episode, we will have a mailbag portion of this episode a little bit, right when we finish our opening shifts. And we did get some questions about trades, potential trades, because even if the Bruins did make that trade for Howard, that doesn't solve their need for a top six guy right now, right? So,
But Howard could be that within a year or two.
Top six or middle six?
I would say more middle six, but like I could see him being a second line wing. I think that's like within the range of outcomes for him.
That it is funny that you asked that question, the Bridget top six, middle six, because it's like if it's second line, it's overlapping, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think like people in the prospect world make that distinction though.
Yeah, I do too. And so anyway, we will get to some people's ideas of maybe getting creative of what the Bruins could do now that they didn't get a top six guy in free agency. I mean, you could, unless you call Arvidsson, but you know, a different impact player that they think that the roster still may be in need of. So we'll get to that in just a second, but I will quickly get into my opening shift, which has to do with some Bruins prospects, including James Hagans. And USA Hockey just announced their list of players that are invited to their World Junior Summer Showcase, which is July 25th to August 2nd, and it included four Bruins prospects. So that's a lot, and it does indicate to you that a lot of the Bruins up and coming players are American. And we had a little bit of a conversation about it just before the podcast. Dean Letourneau's Canadian, so they have him as a first round prospect, but a lot of these guys, some of whom they got in a trade, some of whom they drafted, are good enough to end up on a U.S. World Juniors showcase that, as we know, the history of World Juniors, those are some of the best prospects to then enter the NHL eventually. So it's James Hagans and Will Moore, who they just drafted in this year's draft, and then Will Zellers, who they traded for, and Elliot Grunewald, all four of them will be in that showcase, which is in Minneapolis.
Yeah, we were debating because I always thought it was Elliot Grunewald. And then just before we started, I looked it up and College Hockey Inc. has it as Grunewald. So I fully admit there was not time to like confirm with Quinnipiac people. And now because Bridget, I think, you know, like I like to get pronunciation of guys' names when I talk to them in the locker room. And like, now I'm kicking myself that I didn't do that with Grunewald at development camp this week. So
yeah, I think I did that with Matt Patra like three times. I was like, is it really Patra? And he's like, yes.
We confirmed that. And then even like the broadcast kept saying like Poitra, and I was like, wait, but why is Nesson saying so, that?
I swear I asked him personally like three times, like to make
the pronunciation is Grindelwald. That's what you said. Grindelwald is just confirming.
Yeah, Grindelwald. Yep.
Okay. And he plays at Quinnipiac.
Scott, say it again.
Cool Whip.
Cool. Somebody tweeted that at us. And Scott just has like a mounting list of words that he says that just incorrectly, I think. So
yeah, we won't go down the whole gala road either. So we'll spare the listeners today on that.
Yeah, we will. All right. So
I'm just not going to talk anymore.
Okay. Bye. So Brian, because Scott's not part of this conversation anymore.
Yes.
You ready to get to the mailbag?
Love to. Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to pull up. Oh, and we don't have to get to this now because I want to do the trade ones first, but we did get an email for Brian specifically from Switzerland that I think we will get to eventually. So if you sent it, we are going to get to it a little bit later.
Yeah. What was the sender's name again, Scott? It was a few letters, right? Oh, Skip. Yeah. Skip.
So I'm going to start with a YouTube comment that I pulled from a few days ago, which is a Ryan Nugent Hopkins, trade idea. So, this is MH Merriman from YouTube said, just a thought, Ryan Nugent Hopkins for Casey Mittelstadt and Korpisalo. And if the Oilers need a second to make the deal a little bit sweeter, go for it. Give the Bruins a true middle six guy to be between Zacha and Arvidsson. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has 3 years left could slide into a 3C role behind Lindholm and Hagens when the kid makes it to the show. Oilers get a goalie, and they would have a 3C replacement with Mittelstadt.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So, biggest problem here right off the top is the Oilers would be adding a lot of salary in this case, and they have no cap space. So, like, right off the top, like, it's not feasible unless the Bruins are taking back someone else, but I don't even know who that would be.
Probably a goalie, don't you think? Potentially?
Yeah, I mean, you get... But, like, I gotta imagine the Oilers are setting their sights higher than Korpisalo in their search for a goalie. So, like,
I agree.
The trade's not solving that part of it for them. So, I don't. This would be a great trade for the Bruins. I don't see how it makes any sense for the Oilers.
Unless they thought highly of Korpisalo, and he's a backup right now. So, they're.
I was gonna say, like, we gotta be realistic about what Jonas Korpisalo is. Like,
yeah,
he's a backup. He's okay if he's splitting time. He's not a full time starter.
So that doesn't solve their main issue, which is that they want a guy who they can throw in net the entirety or almost of the Stanley Cup playoffs and trust in them, rather than do this whole flip flopping thing that they've had to do in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think that's a flaw, just from an Oilers standpoint that. It might not solve what they need, the main thing that they need, which they've talked about and their fan base has talked about really a lot since even both this offseason and last offseason. And they also would have to think highly of Casey Mittelstadt in this situation. If Korpisalo really doesn't solve that main need, then they would really have to think Mittelstadt was better than Nugent Hopkins in this case.
Yeah, and you know, something about Nugent Hopkins that's always been a question in my mind is what he would be away from McDavid and Draisaitl. I think obviously he's had a very quiet yet very like respectable NHL career. I think he's going into his 15th season, or he just ended his 15th season, and he still looks like he could be 25 years old out there. He has that baby face, Nugent Hopkins does. But if you look at his career numbers, he had that one season. I just pulled it up. It was in 22-23. He had 104 points. Amazing season. But if you look at the other, 13-14 seasons, he's more or less been around a 50 to 55 point guy on average. Couple of seasons in the 40s, maybe a few in the low 60s, and a bunch in the 50s. So, and that's with a lot of, the higher end offensive talent around him. And don't mistake what I'm saying. I think he would be a great addition to the Bruins. But at 32 years old, are you better off just kind of letting the natural progression of what happens with the Bruins take place and see if Casey Mittelstadt at 26 can get you 50 points, 55 points? And I'm not saying that Nugent Hopkins isn't a better player than Mittelstadt, certainly right now, but it's just something I've always wondered, because we've heard Nugent Hopkins' name for a couple of years now linked to the Bruins potentially. And I've always just had that question. I've always been in my head, absolutely, I'll take him. But I've always wondered what he would be on a different roster. And I don't know how you guys feel about that either.
Yeah, I do think you saw in the playoffs this year, for several rounds, when the Oilers would load up, they went to the top line of Draisaitl, McDavid, and Corey Perry. And that left Nugent Hopkins centering the second line. Usually it was with Evander Kane and Zach Hyman until Hyman got hurt. And that was a good line. That was a good second line for the Oilers. So I think if you put him as your 2C and have good wingers, like, again, Zach Hyman is a play driver. Like, that's a really good player to have on one of his wings to help him out. Then you can get there. And Nugent Hopkins does have the versatility to play the wing too. That's that 104 point season that came when he was largely stapled on the left side of Connor McDavid. So he can do that as well. Like, I like the player, and if he's available, I'm interested, but I don't know that I see the trade that makes sense for the Bruins. I mean, more likely it would have to involve Swayman. Like, I think that's, if you're talking about the Oilers and what they would want from the Bruins, I think that's it. So then is Nugent Hopkins part of a package that makes that work? Do the Bruins even want to trade Swayman? Should they trade Swayman? Like, then you get into all that. So I think it would have to be something bigger than what this proposed.
And I think that, at this exact proposal, it would be a big win for the Bruins if that was just the deal. But that's why it's unlikely, because nobody wants to lose a trade, and it just feels like that probably isn't enough. So I like the idea, because I like Nugent Hopkins, and he probably would be pretty good fit here. He would be an upgrade potentially for you, if you believe that he's better than Casey Mittelstadt, which I think, that's realistic to think that. So it would be a great player for the Bruins to get. It just, this exact package doesn't really make sense necessarily for it. So it would make it difficult. And I feel like Edmonton has been involved in every trade. Like, they've been involved in a lot this offseason in terms of their trades and trying to get better. And when you make it to the final and you got to figure out what went wrong and how to fix it. So I'm sure they're taking phone calls and trying to figure out how to make that a legitimate Stanley Cup winning team right now. So
he would certainly be an upgrade immediately over Casey Mittelstadt. Just, I mean, apples to apples, he would be. I mean, Mittelstadt, his highest point total, Scott? Was it 57 points or 59?
I think 59.
So, I mean, you know, sure. And now he's on a struggling Sabres team. Although the Sabres have had a lot of talent over the years, despite their basement status. But so, I mean, Mittelstadt could be capable of 50 to 60 points. I think Nugent Hopkins plays a more mature game, obviously, outside of the points. So he would be an upgrade in that sense. I think I just don't think it would make a ton of sense for Edmonton, because I just don't think that Mittelstadt or Korpisalo really move the needle for them. I think Scott's right. It would probably have to be something for Swayman. And what's Nugent Hopkins' cap hit right now? I'm just curious.
5.125.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, you compare that to what Mittelstadt's getting at the same price, right?
How about this? I don't know if Edmonton would do this, but the money works on this. Jeremy Swayman to Edmonton for Ryan Nugent Hopkins and Stuart Skinner. No salary retained in either direction.
I think that your rebuild is sounding a lot more plausible in that situation.
But how so? What do you mean?
I think you're a goalie away now. I mean,
I think the problem is, I think the risk here is, and the gamble is for both sides, is that if Jeremy Swayman going forward is the Swayman we saw last year, the Bruins are still a goalie away, even with him. And
yeah. I don't believe that. I really don't. Like, I'm somebody who thinks that maybe was an anomaly and that we'll at least see an improvement this season. That's what I think when I just based on watching him so far up to this point in his career. So,
and I agree with that, Bridget. I do think, well, first of all, the bar was so low last year. I think Swayman's going to have a better year regardless, but yeah, I think,
I mean, high, right? Bar was high.
I'm sorry.
What? Bar was high, do you mean? Oh, you mean, well, he set a new low bar.
He set the bar so low after last season that, like, it's tough for him to have a worse season. I think if that trade were to happen, I too think it's probably more likely that Swayman goes to Edmonton and is their missing piece and benefits the Oilers than the Bruins being benefited with an aging Ryan Nugent Hopkins, who again can give you 50, 60 points, and a mature two-way game, and then a Stuart Skinner, who, you know, he is young. Is he younger than Swayman? Been to two cup finals, but
same age, 26.
Same age. I mean, he's been to two cup finals, but it's been in kind of a platoon way. And we all know how, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, their situation's been. So I don't, despite going to, it's crazy that he's been to two straight finals and the narrative is that he kind of sucks, right? Like that says something. So, but again, if you're somebody who is afraid that Swayman isn't going to live up to his contract and he only has and his no move kicks in after this season, and this is one of the only chances you can get rid of him, and you get Nugent Hopkins in return, you know, it's,
yep. Sorry, Brian. I'd say it has to go beyond just like you think. Like, you have to be convinced that contract is going to suck. Like, in my opinion, like, it would have to be more than just like you have a, you think like it's not as good, but like you absolutely have to be convinced that he's not gonna ever be worth that contract. So, and I just think that's not where they are right now.
Yeah, and well, you'd also have to be convinced that you're gonna be back in the mix in the next couple of years, because to Brian's point, like, Nugent Hopkins is 32. So if you're he helps you now. He helps your top six for sure. But if you're going to be 4 years away, he's not going to be helping you by then. Mm-mm. So you got to be convinced that, like, you're back in 2 or 3 years and that you can figure out the goaltending once you are. Whether that's, hey, goalie Bob can fix Skinner, or Skinner and Korpisalo together, we can make it work. Or, you know, is Michael DiPietro on the pitcher? Or is there another goalie that we're going after next summer? Summer, like, right? Like, There would be work to do to figure that out for whenever you're ready to contend again. Like, and I think that's kind of, I also think Swayman's going to bounce back. D the only reason I would be open to entertaining trades for him is it does kind of feel like that can be the last thing you figure out in a retool or rebuild or whatever you want to call it, where it's like, you know, do you really need a bona fide number one in place through a couple down seasons, especially one who was part of why you had a down season last year? So I might do this. I ultimately think I would maybe pull the trigger on it.
I feel like if maybe we're talking about somebody slightly younger than Nugent Hopkins, yes.
Right. But yeah, like that would be ideal. But
yeah.
I think the best way I can describe how, based off what we know right now, the best way that I would try to approach this if I were the Bruins with Swayman is I feel like the Bruins owe it to themselves to go into next season and see if he can be the goalie that you paid him to be. And hopefully that means that he is and he can be, and that for the next 10 years, you know, 5-10 years, that you have somebody who's capable of being a top 10 goalie in the world. And if you go into the season and he disappoints you again, and he is having a down year in the final season before his no movement kicks in, you're running the risk of teams around the league looking at him, if you did want to move him then, and say, yeah, the kid's been hot garbage for a year and a half, we don't want him. Or maybe, just maybe, if he does have a bad year and you get towards the trade deadline, could there be somebody with goaltending issues that could say, you know what, he hasn't been great in Boston, but Boston's been kind of blowing it for a couple of years. We know he has raw talent. We'll take a chance on him. Well, it would be, I'm not saying it's likely, but could you find somebody to take on his contract that's desperate enough for goaltending, despite him potentially having a year and a half off of bad hockey? I still think that's a possibility, but very unlikely. But I still think it's worth the Bruins seeing if he can be that guy for them first.
Well, so Scott, you might have a better idea of just like the historical precedents for this, but like there's not a whole lot of huge goalie trade. I feel like that there's only a handful of goalie trades that are that big at the deadline. Yes or no?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Yeah, I'd have to dive deeper into it. It's usually not right. It's usually not the big name. Like Colorado completely turned over their goaltending last year, where they bring in Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood. But those are smaller moves. Like Mackenzie Blackwood, pretty good, but that's not a big contract. Obviously the biggest one ever was Patrick Waugh getting traded midseason from Montreal to Colorado. But that was really unique circumstances where he gets left in for 9 goals against and just straight up tells the GM from the bench, this is the last game I've ever played as a Canadian.
And it wouldn't necessarily have to be the trade deadline. It could be December and the Bruins are looking at him and being like, yeah, 3 months in, he still hasn't given us what we're looking for. And maybe a team, you know, is interested midseason. Like it doesn't have to be trade deadline. Obviously that would just kind of be the last opportunity before the trade deadline comes and goes. And then there's no movement kicks in, you know, but like I said, I think the Bruins probably owe it to themselves to see if he can be their goalie of the future going forward. Because I mean, to have that, to not have to worry about that is a luxury. I mean, the Bruins haven't had to worry about goaltending in Boston, honestly, guys, outside of like Hannu Toivonen in like 05, like the Bruins have had superb goaltending for going on 30 years. I mean, honestly, tell me the last era that they didn't have good goaltending. Date it back to the, you know, maybe sometime in like the mid 90s. Yeah. But I mean, you know, at some point you got Byron Defoe, you know, and that kind of, you know, bled in a little bit into, you know, Andrew Raycroft. You know, there's a little bit of gap there, but Raycroft and, you know, Thomas and Rask, and next thing you know, it's Allmark and Swayman, and now it's Swayman. So I think the Bruins just owe it to themselves to see if, hey, this player we invested in, we know he has the talent, can he be that guy for us before shipping him away? But you do run the risk of him continuing to disappoint, and then teams looking around and being like, yeah, we don't want anything to do with them. So it's tricky, but yeah, you hope that he can just be the guy you paid him to be. That's the easy solve.
Yeah, his value would decrease if, you know, if you wait and see and then it goes down and you're like, oh, then you're not getting as much back either. So,
but again, unless you're like in Edmonton where you're like, or somebody who's just, we have aspirations to go all the way, but if we want to beat the floor, we need goaltending and maybe this kid can be it better than what we have. Right. So it's a good question.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to our next question that was about trade, which we got from CJ. I'm going to skip to part B because part A of his email was basically just not feeling like there was enough done to improve the team in free agency with the players that they added. So his question is, do you still think there's a chance for trades to maybe get some more offense or picks or clear some cap space? If so, who do you think Sweeney will try to move? Zacha, Mittelstadt, Patra, Korpisalo. So those are the people he thinks. And we, you know, I feel like Korpisalo and Mittelstadt come up a lot in these proposed trade situations. But yeah, guys, if they were to move active players, I guess I'll put it that way, rather than picks. Like, it's hard to answer that question, first of all, because we don't know what's coming back.
Right? I mean, at, the, I think the obvious one is Corpusalo. Like, they're at least going to entertain trade offers if they get any. And if he's around through training camp and preseason, if DiPietro beats him out for the backup job, like, you're probably trying to trade Corpusalo. But then at that point, you're not just listening. Then you're probably actively shopping him. So that would be an obvious one. It would freeze up about $2.1 million in cap space if you go with DiPietro instead of Corpusalo. That could be enough. You know, that's not going to help you get a bona fide top six forward, but it might help you get a third liner, which is something I also think this team could use, especially if it's, you know, maybe someone in their 20s, maybe someone who can be part of this going forward and not just a, you know, a 1 year guy like Victor Arvidsson. Like, if it helps, if it, that would be the ideal, right? Is like, it's a Victor Arvidsson type player, you know, $4 million or whatever, but someone who's a little younger and can be here a little longer. So, that'd be the easy one. Mittelstadt and Zaka, I think they're here to start the season, and, you know, you see how things go. And if you're not where you want to be approaching the trade deadline, then you start to think about that then. But to me, that they're, I'd be surprised if they're not here come opening night.
Well, they're two of a few players that are capable of generating in a top six role. And that's something that the Bruins don't have in spades right now. Now, if you're talking about which players are, you know, the likely trade targets, it's still those same players, ironically enough, because if you look around at their roster, you have to look at which players have no movement clauses, right? So, okay, Elias Lindholm. Oh, he sucks. They should not trade. No, you can't trade him. He's got a no movement clause unless he decides to pick up his family and move again. He's not going anywhere. Pasternak's not going anywhere. Geeky's not going anywhere, obviously. So, yeah, it comes down to, like, Pavel Zaka. I think he's probably the most attractive contract on Boston's books when it comes to a player that a team could acquire that's on a good cap hit, but is a certainty of what he provides in the NHL level. Obviously, every player has ups and downs and ceilings and floors, but if you're acquiring Pavel Zaka at his cap hit, you know you're getting a top six two-way forward that should plug right into, you know, your roster. So, but again, that's for those same reasons, that's why the Bruins kind of want to keep him too. And he obviously has good chemistry and a friendship with your best forward, which isn't in and of itself a reason to keep somebody around, but it doesn't hurt things, right? So I think what Scott said is something I agree with, where I think they start the season with the two of them. I wasn't so sure about that before the draft, but as we've seen the draft play out in free agency and we see what the Bruins have for cap space right now and just what their roster looks like, if they went out and got, let's just say Brock Besser wanted to come to Boston instead of wanting to stay in Vancouver and the Bruins brought in Besser, it's like, you know, okay, you bring in a top six forward, maybe a Zaka or a Mittelstadt is more expendable because you just brought in talent to replace them, even though it's a different position. I just think they're so bare right now for top six talent that, I mean, hell, even Casey Mittelstadt on a true deep contender, he's probably a third liner, right? So, like, in Boston, he's in their second line right now, penciled in, but I just don't think they're in a position right now to just trade away one of the few top six talents that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're trading, say, for a top six guy, but if you lose Zaka, you're also losing a top six guy. So I guess maybe the intriguing one is Patra, because Patra has the potential to be a top six guy, I think, at some point, but he hasn't yet, right? Really? So, I mean, he's filled in occasionally there, but he more recently has been more of a bottom six and a guy that's had to go down to Providence for some development as well. So maybe if you think he's still got, you know, you don't want to take a risk on him developing into a top six guy, you think maybe he might not, Maybe he's someone you trade for a top six guy. And I only say that because if you're trying to find the solution to get a top six guy without getting rid of one of your guys that are currently that, that would kind of be what you would need to do, right? And I know that a lot of our listeners on this podcast are high on Matt Patra and probably would really dislike him being moved. But I bring that up because the problem with some of these trades involving someone like Zacha would be that you'd lose that. And I think that people are much more okay with middle stat moving than they, you know, even though he is a middle six guy for them right now. His name gets brought up a lot in our emails that we get because I think people aren't sold on him really being a second line guy. So
they're also just a little bit unfamiliar with Middlestat, probably. Like, yeah, probably. You know he's been in Buffalo for a long time. You know he's got some talent. He was a higher draft pick, but he was kind of in, you know, that prison over by Niagara Falls that we call Buffalo. And then he goes to Colorado and it doesn't pan out there. So you're like, okay, why is he moving around at this young age with this talent? Comes to Boston in a very vulnerable, you know, stretch of hockey for the team. And, you know, I thought he played fine. Like, there's obviously, he showcased what he could do at times, and other times he showcased what he doesn't do very well. So I think that people are just kind of like, the jury's out on him. And sometimes when the jury is out, you're more apt to be like, yeah, I'm undecided on him. So if you get rid of him, that's fine. But as far as Patra goes, I just think that because he's not proven, if you're going to trade him for a top six talent, he's, you know, other ammunition is going along with him. So it's Patra plus. And that to me is also where it's kind of like, you just got to be willing. Is it Patra plus a first rounder? Like, then, okay, you got to be sure, because he does have the capability. If I'm Matt Patra right now, I'm looking at the Bruins depth chart on Daily Faceoff, and I'm saying, hey, why is Victor Arvidsson plugged into that second line right wing spot? Why does Bruins management think that he's going? Like, you, if you're one of these younger players, it's easy for people to just pencil in Arvidsson on that right side in the second line. If you're one of these younger players, Lysell, Patra, you know, Blumel, Lachmelis, you go down the line. You're in your mind, you're saying, all right, old man, I'm pushing you down to the third line. I want that second line spot. So you want to see these players grab that top six role and push Arvidsson down. But I think you're right, Bridget. Patra, you know, he's probably the highest. He's probably the most valuable asset that you have that hasn't proved themselves to be a top six talent that could potentially bring it back. You just have to package him.
Yeah. On middle stat, like, you know, I've been pretty clear. Like, I don't really love his game. I thought he got off to a good start when he came over and then really trailed off. He had just 2 points his last 11 games of the season. But I've also acknowledged before and will again that it's really hard to judge him with the line mates he had. I mean, like, he was legitimately playing with AHLers. And when you're talking about, can a guy claim a second line center role? It's like, well, can you put him with at least NHL wings, right? Like, at least don't give him to AHL guys. You know, so whatever you think of Zacha and Arvidsson, like, those are two NHL wings. So now, okay, maybe it's not an ideal second line, but you at least have him on an actual line. So I think he'll look better, you know. Now, whether it's good enough, whether it's he runs with second line center job, like, very much still up in the air. But this should be a better situation for Middlestad than what he was in down the stretch last season. And then the last thing I would just add on, like, penciling Arvidsson in there, part of it for me too is Arvidsson shoots. He's a shooter. He's going to rip pucks on net. And, you know, Middlestad and Zacha are both pass-first guys. So if you put someone like Patra on that line, like, now you have three pass-first guys. At some point, it's like, someone has to shoot the puck, and I at least know if Arvidsson's on that line, he's going to shoot the puck.
Can I say one other thing? And that's a great point, Scott. And I, you know, that is realistically why Arvidsson is in that spot right now, but doesn't change the fact that if you're one of the younger players, you want to surpass him. But you're right, absolutely. One of the reasons why I've just kind of been a little bit more, very much willing to move on from Middlestad if he was part of a deal to help the roster. But at the same time, there's a part of it that's like, I could still see him being, you know, I can still see him getting better, and I can still see him being a good player here because he's only 26 years old. But the reason why I've been so kind of like maybe a little more optimistic on him is because of how you got him, right? I mean, you got Mittelstadt in return for an aging Charlie Coyle, who's since been traded from Colorado to Columbus. So now the cap kind of is similar with those two players, but so it's not like you just got him for free, but you got him for Coyle. In addition to that, you got Zellers and a second round draft pick. So to me, I just love that trade so much for Boston that, you know, I guess that's kind of why I'm not like, get out of here, Mittelstadt, because like it was a good trade for the Bruins. So I guess I just kind of want to see if that trade can be even better than what I think it is now. And maybe that is trading him for something of better value, right? But I'm kind of curious to see just how much of a win this trade could be for Boston. It kind of feels a little incomplete right now because we haven't seen him in a full season with NHL line mates.
Yeah, and we haven't seen him. Like, he's been on the second line, but he hasn't been with NHL second line guys.
He was with Maple Leafs legend Vinny Lattery.
he was playing with guys that were AHLers. So that's one reason why I think maybe people should, if they're down on him after what they saw in what was a short sample size at the end of last season after the trade deadline, maybe just go in with an open mind that it could get better under these circumstances. Though I think that the real issue is that when you look at that line as a line, it's better than what it was at the end of last season after the trade deadline. But is that good enough to compete? And I think that's the question. Is that good? Second line good enough to compete with other good teams' second lines?
And also just one other thought, the Mittelstadt experience in Colorado, Nathan MacKinnon is among the best players in the world. He is very intense, and you have to have a certain mental toughness to be, I think, his teammate, or certainly that's playing with him on the ice a lot. And I think that there's kind of a drill sergeant, mentality there sometimes. And so when Mittelstadt came over, I was like, oh, you know, maybe he didn't thrive under that environment necessarily. And it kind of made me raise my eyebrows. Like, well, I want somebody that can thrive in that environment. But then you see Coyle go to Colorado, and Coyle is by all accounts, like as professional as it gets. And certainly a mentally strong individual on and off the ice. And there was that viral clip
and like someone who can be critical of himself and like
very self-aware.
Yeah.
But there was that clip that went viral in the playoffs of MacKinnon kind of giving it to Coyle after a play. And Charlie's just kind of doing as he always does, which is just chomp on his gum and stare off into space. But, you know, obviously Coyle, you know, the Avalanche moved on from Coyle. And I'm sure a lot of it's because he didn't have the postseason that they hoped for. But it just, you know, I see a younger kid in Mittelstadt not thrive there. And then I see a very professional veteran and Coyle not thrive there. Granted, in only a couple of months, it's not a fair comparison. And I just wonder, all right, so maybe I'm putting too much stock in Mittelstadt not working out there, because maybe it's just a tough environment for many players.
Bridget, did we want to go? I believe we have a question involving Mittelstadt and the Avalanche.
You want to read it, Scott?
Sure. So this was from Brian, not our Brian, different Brian.
Not me.
But Pitch, it said, I got to believe there's a trade in the offing for a legit top six forward. How about this? Bruins get Marty Natchez plus the opportunity to negotiate an extension. He has 1 year left, $6.5 million. Josh Manson from Colorado as well, 1 year left, $4.5 million. Avalanche get Casey Mittelstadt back, Mason Lauri, and Johnny Beecher to help even out the money. You probably don't have to include Beecher, but so he goes on to say, like, Colorado has only 1 year of control of Natchez, and, you know, it seems like there could be some hesitancy from one side or the other about an extension. Natchez and Mittelstadt, you know, might be uneven, but then they get Lauri. Thoughts overall, it's 1 year of Natchez for 2 years of Lauri with various NHL caliber guys making the cap hits work. So that'd be it. What do you guys think of that? I have some thoughts on this, but what do you guys think of this?
Well, first of all, it's very uncommon to see a player get traded back that quickly, especially traded back to where they just came from. And I'm sure there would be hard feelings about it. I mean, a lot of players are at least somewhat annoyed when they get moved. And so that might not be the best thing for Mittelstadt, first of all. Not that that's really a major factor, but if the relationship had run its course there, then I have to assume that turning it around this quickly wouldn't really make sense for the Avalanche if they had already determined, like, okay, he's out, like, he's not part of our future plans.
Yeah, I mean, that's my initial thought as well. Is would Colorado even be interested in bringing back Mittelstadt? Obviously, they traded him for a reason. They felt as though that a more pro style of veteran player in Charlie Coyle was better for them down the stretch than what Mittelstadt was giving. Could there be regrets there? And we effed that one up, and we want him back, maybe. But I'm sure that Colorado just moved on for the player for other reasons besides just, you know. But as far as the actual return, if I'm the Bruins, I would do that in a heartbeat. I mean, I think that Marty Natchez's upside in the NHL is, for his position, is higher than what Lorenz is at his position. I think that's the real acquisition cost here, is giving up on Lorenz's upside. At the same time, and I don't have Manson's page in front of me, but if I had to guess, I'd say he's early 30s. But he plays an intense style of defense, and something that, you know, he would bring a totally different element than what Lauri brings, but by all accounts, a tougher one. So I think if the money were to work, and Beecher is somebody that, you know, the three of us were all okay with the Bruins not even qualifying this past summer, so. All due respect to Johnny if he's listening. But I would do this deal in a heartbeat if I were the Bruins, but I don't know if Colorado would.
Yeah, Manson's 33. Colorado did just sign Brent Burns for a year, so maybe they feel good about the right side of their defense. They, you know, move some salary out. But yeah, I'm with you guys. Like, I just don't think the Avs would be interested in bringing back Mittelstadt. I guess the one counter argument there would be now he would plug into a third line center role there behind McKinnon and Brock Nelson. But that also was going to be the case last year before they traded him. Obviously they felt like Charlie Coyle is a better third line center and is more of what they thought they needed. So, you know, could, like, maybe they could change their mind on that. Maybe they're like, you know what, after seeing how things played out, maybe the more offensive guy like Mittelstadt on our third line, like, maybe that would make sense. But that's just me playing devil's advocate a little. My real answer is I'm with you guys. I don't think they would have much interest in getting Mittelstadt back.
Little seller's remorse, you think, Scott? Little seller's remorse, maybe? At best case?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that happens. And obviously, you know, the playoffs didn't go the way the Avs were expecting. So the way they thought they had optimized their roster didn't really work out. So, like, it does force you to rethink things.
Yeah. So I think we should get to Skip's email, because I know, Brian, you got an appointment to get to. So, and I also have one closing thought as well. But, Brian, do you want to read...
I don't have it in front of me. Do you have it?
It's at the top of the document. Part of it is, at least. Oh no, that's Chip.
That's Chip's email.
Skip. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah. I'll lay the groundwork while Bridge is doing it. But essentially, you know, Scott got an email from the SkatePod account, addressed to me from Switzerland. And so, Skip, by the way, Skip also mentioned that he's from Rhode Island originally. So that's a combination that you don't hear every day. Yeah, from Rhode Island, and now I've been in Switzerland the last 20 years. But he addressed it to me with a bit of a bone to pick regarding my two lovely co-hosts here. So Bridget, just give me the thumbs up when you have it.
I got it. So first of all, it sounds like he's made great life choices to move to Switzerland like after Rhode Island. But it says, "Hi, Brian. I have been living in Switzerland for about 20 years now, and I'm originally from Rhode Island where I played schoolboy hockey. I watch all of the Bruins related podcasts, and yours has been a favorite of mine for some time now. I do have an issue with you guys in the moment, though, which is this. Can you guys, meaning especially Scott and to some degree Bridget, please stop the freaking hatred of Tanner Janot? He is not even in town yet, and these podcasts are all hating on him and the contract 24/7. 10 other teams wanted him, so that means other GMs are seeing something that Scott and others are not. More to the point, can you, meaning Brian, please show some spine with your opinion and
pretty much Brian.
As you are the one who is correct in my view. So I'll stop there because it goes on. But
man, do I like Skip already?
Skip is Team Brian. So let me just like set the table a second here in case people didn't hear our last podcast. We got several submissions from other listeners about asking questions. Why did the Bruins give Tanner Janot a 5-year contract? So the term was also... The term and the number were both problems to some of our listeners who sent it in. And we spent time kind of going into what we thought his potential was here and different things. Apparently, Scott, you were the hardest on him. So I don't know if you guys – and so one of the main reasons we read this is, first of all, we appreciate the input, especially from someone who – listens from so far away. And we do a lot of times get the negative side of what people think, you know, and people are more likely to judge rather than wait and see, which it feels like Skip is like, hey, wait and don't judge this deal until we've at least seen a little bit of Tanner Janot on the ice.
So I definitely was hardest on him, but let's clarify something. What I don't like and what I ripped is the contract. I have no issue with Tanner Janot, the player or the person. I like his effort. I like his physicality. By all accounts, he's a good guy, a good locker room type guy. I'm sure he's a great human being. I don't know him. I look forward to meeting him in training camp. But it is a hard cap league. So when we talk about players, we have to talk about contracts because they just go hand in hand. Like if this were baseball where there's no salary cap, okay, fine. We wouldn't have to focus on contracts so much, but there's a hard cap. So we do. And yeah, that is what I hate is the contract. I hate 5 years, $3.4 million a year for a player that I think is a good fourth liner. And he might be a good one, and he might be a tone setter and all that, but ultimately it's still a fourth liner that you have now given a real contract to, like a lengthy commitment for what I think is third line money. And I don't think he's going to be a third liner, and I don't think the contract's going to hold up that well. So it's not me hating Tanner Janot, the person or the player. It's me hating the contract.
All right, well, first things first, I just got to say to Skip that what a phrase. It's not used enough, but to tell somebody to show some spine, that is an unreal phrase. Like, I'm going to use that probably in my daily life. Like, just, I don't know where. Dunkin' Donuts, direct, just show some fucking spine. Like, just, I don't know. I just love it. So that is the biggest takeaway from this email is, showing some spine is something I'll be using a lot now. Secondly, you know, I really last episode, it was more so the disdain and dislike for the deal from others that made it seem like I was I guess on the other side of the aisle, I was just being a little bit more open-minded and just kind of coming at it from the Bruins' point of view and probably where I think that why they're looking at the situation and why they brought him in. And I do think that I am more of the, well, let's just wait and see, you know, mindset. That said, Skip went on to basically tell me to shove Scott in a locker. So I'm going to have to do just that now, Scott. And you know, I'd appreciate if you just,
I don't even have any lockers around.
I just want you to show some fucking spine, Scott. Going forward, show some spine. Now, a lot of people don't realize this about Scott is that he's actually on IMDb as an actor. He does have acting credits. If you ever saw Pirates of the Caribbean, he was the parrot on Johnny Depp's shoulder because, man, does he just repeat what all the other talking heads are saying about Jeannot. By the way, for those listening, I'm just trying to give this for Skip. I don't really.
I was going to say, I think Skip, in a way, was actually more critical of you than me because he said I was loud in my opinion, and which is good, and seems to think I'm dug in, and that's what you know, opinion makers and talk show hosts, podcasts, I was like, that's what you have to do. And I believe later in this email, he accused Brian of poke checking his way into a corner and not lowering the shoulder and throwing a hit. I think he's actually being quite critical of Brian here.
Well, listen, Scott, that's why I'm saying that, you know, I agree. I gotta lean into a little bit more, right? So maybe
all be harder on Scott. I think we can agree that.
I think I give enough controversial opinions on here that I did decide to poke check one away just for an easy day. You know, but then here comes Scott the next day, and now he's saying, oh, well, you know, what I really meant to say was, you know, I wasn't really trying to hate on the player. Oh, see, now Scott wants to dig his heels in, but now he's realizing he's going to talk to Jeannot in the locker rooms. So now he's, oh, I can't wait to meet the player. I can't wait to meet the person. I just don't like the player. So
the contract, which, yeah, by the way, I think I made pretty clear on the last episode, but maybe not. I think I even said if it was a 3-year deal for like $2.5 million, I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, I don't think Tanner's listening. I think we're okay here. I think we're good.
I think he's listening to every episode all the way through.
Yeah. So what I would say is, I mean, he seems like a Bruin, right? Like by his pedigree, by watching what he does on the ice, he seems like a Bruin in that you're thinking of a tough, hard-nosed player that's physical. In a bottom six role, that's what you want. In Boston, that's the identity of a fourth line in Boston, or sometimes a third line in Boston. So in that way, there is a fit and there is some help. And we talked about how Don Sweeney said he thinks it will give some of the younger guys a little bit of breathing room, as in he will protect younger guys. And if that is what he actually does in Boston, then that there's a value there. I'll second what Scott said about the contract being really what the critique was about.
Can I also say, though, like, because we didn't even really get into that all that much on the last episode, that Sweeney comment about like giving space or protecting young guys, like, I kind of don't even think that's really how the NHL works anymore. Like, you just don't, like, that just doesn't really happen. That's generally not. I mean, like, what's a recent example of anything like the Blackhawks kind of tried to do that, where you put like Foligno on a team with Bedard, but did we ever get any great examples of like these Blackhawk veterans protecting Connor Bedard? Or, I mean, did I just miss it? Possible.
Well, I think you're right. Like, I think if you're acquiring Tanner Jeannot and Nikita Zadorov and Mark Hastlick because your goal is to make the Florida Panthers try to shy away from how they play, it's not happening. They're gonna always do what they're doing regardless of who's on the ice. But I do think that
the Bruins tried that on opening night last year, and the Panthers just like walked all over them and in some cases literally laughed in their faces.
I do think it's fair to say there are a couple of players around the league, and I do think Jeannot might be one of them, where if you're gonna do something, you are aware that they're out there. I think, like, historically, you can't sit there and say that if Ryan Reeves is on the ice, that someone's going to take as much liberties on Austin Matthews as if Reeves wasn't on the ice, or like a Tom Wilson in Washington. I think there are certain players that garner that level of, like, all right, I at least know he's out there.
They're, like, never even on the ice at the same time, though.
No, I know. No, I know. I'm with you. But,
like, Tanner Janot's not going to be on the ice at the same time as James Hagans. They're not going to be on a line.
No. And I will say, and in all sincerity, like, with Skip's email, like, the reason why I wasn't really coming at, you know, people is because I really have some reservations too about the acquisition. Like, if you look at his numbers aren't great, right? So, like, they haven't been great. So I do want him to be more than just somebody who can be a big body out there and be hard on the forecheck. Like, it's a relatively pretty penny for what his offensive production has been the last couple of seasons. And Skip mentions in the email that he did have that rookie season where he produced pretty well, but, you know, that was a couple of years ago. So there, I do have reservations about it as well. I know what the Bruins were thinking when they brought him in is all. And I think that the market for Janot was probably more competitive than people are giving it credit. And those who are giving it credit, like Scott said last episode, I get that the market was competitive for him. And if it was, then don't be that team to sign him. I just think that the Bruins feel as though that he helps them play more of the style of play that they want to play, at least next season, because they're trying to do something other than make the playoffs. They're trying to rebuild their foundation and be a harder team to play against. So I don't think that other teams that were in the market for Janot are in as much of an identity crisis right now as the Bruins are. And they feel as though that beyond the point production, he's somebody that can come in and help us accomplish what we're trying to do, which is be a harder team to play against. Now, I don't love the no movement aspect of it in his first couple of years either. We didn't really talk about that part last episode, but it's a layered deal because the player offers different intangibles and it depends on what you value. And I was just trying to show what I think the Bruins are valuing him and why they value that player more so than the other teams that were interested in him. I don't know what teams those were, but I can guarantee you that those teams probably didn't have the floor bottom out last year and have absolutely no identity going into October. So I think the Bruins are in search of players like that. And yeah, they paid a premium to bring in the player. No doubt about it. But yeah, I definitely think that there is an element of let's see what he can do. Maybe he'll pleasantly surprise. So, and I don't think that you guys aren't saying that either, but you are allowed to have an opinion on something before you see the results of it. Cause I mean, that's what sports fandom is all about. Like, player signings happen in off seasons all the time and you have opinions on it. So,
I mean, like, we literally,
Scott just hates Janot. That's all there is to it.
Clearly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, we literally wouldn't have a podcast if we just had to wait to see how everything plays out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We would be, I don't know, what would you guys be if you weren't in sports? I mean, Brian has a real person job. Scott and I have just our sports stuff. Brian's a plumber, as we know. But Scott, what would you be if you weren't doing this?
I'd be an astronaut.
No, is that what you wanted to be as a kid?
Yeah.
You know, I always thought, and there's still time, that I could have I used to love animals as a kid and I could like tell you every single animal ever. I could have one of those travel shows where you just like go like hang out with sloths or something. I could see that. There's still time, you know, if this whole thing doesn't work out for me, I could be Jeff Corwin maybe, but I'm kind of dressed like that today, actually, but
25 years from now, we're going to hear about Bridget getting mauled by a tiger that she thought was her friend the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, we were really close. But
well, one other thing before we go is, I don't know about you guys, it's a working segment in my head, but maybe going forward, Bridget, you can work on a graphic that says "Show some spine," and we could have a segment on the show somebody has to give a take that, you know, puts them on the hot seat a little bit. You know, we can take turns on that one.
You know what? I'm going to add that to the ideas list. But so before we go, because I know you got to go, Brian.
Yeah.
We do have more mailbag questions. We still have more than half of we haven't been able to get through everything, not even close. So keep sending them. We will maybe categorize them by theme like we kind of did today. And if you're mad at Scott, definitely send it our way. He is the one who opens the email, so it's up to him whether or not to forward it to us. but comment on YouTube, you know, all the Scott stuff you want.
Yeah, don't send any emails that are positive about Brian and Bridget. I'm not going to forward those to them. Yeah.
So. He's like when Harry is looking for his letters from his friends in Chamber of Secrets, and Dobby stole them all.
Yeah. Oh,
come on now. Can we see our letters, please? Let me see your emails.
So Scott's Dobby. Okay. So you can still continue to send it. Let me put for those watching, this is the email. It is skatepod@wei.com. Comment on YouTube as well. And occasionally, like, we'll get stuff on Twitter too. So that if that's where you know how to contact us, that works too. At the skatepod on Twitter. So there was one thing that I want to get to before we log off, if I have about a minute or two, which is, I know the last episode towards the beginning of my opening shifts, we were talking about college hockey and how Gavin McKenna is going to maybe change the landscape of college hockey with going to Penn State and getting the money that he got. And I just kind of threw in a side comment about Roger McQueen,
people picked this up.
People did pick this up, which I had a credible source that he was interested in coming to play college hockey. He was talking to more than one team, but Providence was one of those teams I was really interested in bringing him in. In between that podcast and this podcast, I spoke to the same person. And unfortunately, I don't think he's going the college route. It sounds like in his position in Anaheim, because the conversation I had was before the draft where we didn't really know where he was going to end up. At that point in time, he was considering playing college hockey. He had a great development camp by all accounts in Anaheim. He gets drafted to a team that is a team that could use him now. And I do think he's pushing and the organization is open to him going pro rather than playing college hockey. So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see him in Hockey East. I was excited to see him because we got like so deep in the weeds for some of these prospects when we were talking about who the Bruins could draft that we got into his backstory of like his injury and where is his health at. And I kind of wanted to see it play out and just to see what kind of player he was. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see him play in college at this point. It doesn't seem like that's the route he's going. So I don't know if we have any Roger McQueen followers
what I would add to this is like this is sort of one wrinkle that might keep some of these top guys in the CHL. Like we just saw Jake O'Brien signed his entry-level contract with Seattle, which now takes college out of the equation. He's either in the NHL or he goes back to the OHL. These guys who think they have a shot or at least want to see, you know, can I win a job out of camp, are more likely probably going to stay in the CHL because then they can go to training camp, they can play preseason games, and they can even play 9 regular season games before the team has to make a decision on whether to send them back to juniors, right?
Like, this is
what the Bruins did with Patra. Yeah. So you get, basically, if you go CHL instead of college, you have a longer window open to try and push to make your NHL team. Whereas, like, Hagans ultimately is going to have to decide, you know, by end of August, basically. Like, that's when BC is getting back on campus and starting to practice. So he's not going to be able to go to Bruins training camp and then play preseason games. And, oh, if he's not quite ready, he can go back to BC. Like, Hagans has to make that decision before then.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to put that out there that it seems like there's an appetite for Anaheim to go the route of giving him a chance to make it out of camp. So I don't know if that information's relevant to anyone.
Well, he, you know, his injury history aside, I mean, his size and skill, like people said, was probably top three in the draft, could have been. And so it's not totally surprising that he's getting the opportunity to maybe go pro. And I think that the second I saw that helicopter take off from the draft to go to Disneyland, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's Anaheim this year. They're pushing hard to sell that
pick. I mean, honestly, personally, I'd be surprised. I don't think he's ready. Yeah. Like I think he has one of the longer development paths of anyone in the top 10, but
even O'Brien, like I don't think O'Brien's skating is ready. Like I think you're right, Scott. Like I think, you know, at most he'll probably play 9 games and go back down, but you're right. That is the wrinkle of how these prominent prospects post draft year could go back to the CHL.
And there's a couple other guys who, you know, still haven't made their decisions and, you know, probably have a month, maybe a month and a half to do so. But like Matthew Schaefer, we've heard pop up as a college option, but like he might feel like he's ready to make the Islanders. Porter Martone has been leaving his options open. I think now that Michigan State lost Isaac Howard and also lost out on Gavin McKenna, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State goes hard for Porter Martone. There's a couple of these guys now who still haven't 100% committed to where they're going next year or whether it's, you know, even whether it's CHL or NCAA.
All right. On that note, guys, we do have to wrap up. So thank you all very much for listening. Continue to send your questions. We appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend and we'll talk to you soon.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.